do less, be more. All month at Chapel Hill, you'll want to be a part of every teaching that helps you live in that realm. If America ever had a prince, this was the guy. The first time we were really introduced to him in that iconic image was he was playing underneath his daddy's desk in the Oval Office. Later on, it was an overwhelming shot that's in our history books as we see this young man in attention, hand in a salute as his daddy passes in front of him on his way to his burial site. JFK Jr. could have been president of the United States just by the merit of his dad and his name, but a tragic ending took place to this unbelievable, handsome young man who was raised in what we call now Camelot. He got in a plane with his lovely wife and I think his sister-in-law for a little holiday, but as he was on his way to Martha's Vineyard, something began to happen that I hope never happens to you. In fact, we're teaching you today in a way so it never happens to you. All of a sudden, in the haze and in the cloud, there was something that took place called spatial disorientation. And for a time, JFK Jr., He didn't know what was north. He didn't know what was south. He didn't know what was to his right. He didn't know what was to his left. He didn't know which way was up. He didn't know which way was down. And with his best effort in the midst of that tension, he drove the plane into the planet. The heartbreaking story of the end of our little prince was dotted by the period of, there was a time in his life he really didn't know where he was. It happened to JFK Jr. But as we enter into God's Word and we hear the heart of Father God, I want to make sure that spatial disorientation, where you get in that zone and you don't know which way is north and which way is east and what is south or north or what's up or down, we want to make sure that in the next 20 minutes you are prepared through God's Word that is not the end of your life story. Psalms chapter 23, we hear what real direction is all about, where David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." There's not going to be a lot of lack in my life because my guidance system is not instruments on the front of a personal plane. It is the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what he says about following on the sandals of the good shepherd. He says this, "He makes me periodically lay down before green pastures." Land that I'm not sowing, that I'm not toiling in, that I'm not fertilizing, they're just green. He causes me to rest every once in a while behind fields that I don't even have to work and plow. Not only does that, he calls me and he beckons me as I follow him, as he's my guidance system, to lay down, not by turbulent waters, not by troubled waters, but by tranquil, still waters. And he leads me there, and he has a way of making sure when I'm close to him, I get personal restoration. He restores me physically and emotionally and spiritually. That's what happens to me. Not all the time, because a lot of time I'm in the push. I'm in the drive. But when I follow my shepherd, he makes sure there's times when I'm restored and I'm personally rejuvenated. there's a pastor that went to the Holy Lands, this unique story where he was so excited, as any pastor would be, to see how the Holy Lands really are. And he was anxious to see how the shepherds lead the sheep, because there's so many stories about we, as the sheep of his pastor, following the good shepherd. And he was disturbed as he saw an image that wasn't what he thought should be, as he saw this gentleman beating the sheep and driving the sheep and cursing the sheep and pushing the sheep. And the pastor looked to his guide and said, that's not what I thought it was going to be. I always thought of a shepherd, of someone that was gentle and kind and refreshing. And the tour guide said, oh, you're not looking at a shepherd. That's not a shepherd. That's the butcher. That's the butcher. And I want to ask you a personal question. Who's leading you? Is it the shepherd that knows when to refresh you? Is it the shepherd who knows you enough and he's gentle and he says, okay, you've been pushing it long enough. Time out. Lay down here. You've been working a field and building a career, but right now you're not cultivating this field. You're just going to enjoy how green it is. Or are you being led by a butcher that's going to drive you and push you? And hey, the thief, John 10:10 says, talking about the devil, comes to kill you, destroy your family, rip you off, kill, steal, and destroy. He is a butcher, and he doesn't care the means nor the method to destroy your life. And if he can drive you into a place of spatial disorientation where you don't know right from left and you can't even think straight and you crash it all, he's saying, hey, I just had one more slaughter. But I believe with all my heart, you're not going to follow the butcher. How about joining me? I'm going to follow the good shepherd. Hallelujah. And I'm going to live with revival in my life. How about you? Will you join me as I follow the shepherd? Let's do that. I want you to look at a scripture over in, I believe it's in Exodus, but it's also in Deuteronomy. But let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. And in the Ten Commandments, you know, there's commands of the Lord. These are not recommendations, even in the New Testament. These are commandments. These are the biggies. Say the biggies. And the fourth commandment is the one that I've looked at Gayla many times. I don't have a problem with lying. You're not going to catch me in lies. My heart, I hope yours is grieved every time I hear the Lord's name taken in vain. Somebody say amen to that. I just hate it. It's just like, oh, you don't know what you're saying. But if you're kind of like me, and all you know what to do is when they pitch you the ball is to run hard and fast. That's all I know, to go as hard as I can, fast. Then maybe you have trouble with the fourth commandment where the Lord said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Holy means set apart or special, not like all the other. He's a holy God. There's none like unto him. And look what it says. Remember the Sabbath day, because for 6 days, if you're following me, push it, push it, push it. But on one day, I want you to make it different from all your other days. And I want you to make it a Sabbath day unto me. And why is that so important? Have you ever been around people that take pride in just, they never stop? Yeah, I'm a self-made man. I go 24/7, 8 days a week. I know no stop. And all when you get around them, there is no comment about how hard they're going. Now, this is America for us. And these are one of these sermons where it's so close to home, you might want to tune out. But one of the reasons why God says, I want you to go as hard as you want to go for 6 days. But one day, I want it different. One day, I want it set apart. is to remove the element of, quote unquote, look what I've done for myself. Look what I've achieved. I drive this. I live here. I make this. My kids go here. All because I never stop. I don't ever stop. By my own mighty arm, I have built this career and profession and company. And God says, stop it. Just stop it. If you're going to follow me, then I want there to be quickly in your sentence structure, I didn't do this, but it was the Lord who did it. This was not done because I was witty or I was brilliant, but this has happened because I followed the Good Shepherd. And yeah, we went through some uphill terrain. And yes, there were some wolves chasing us for a while. But in the midst of that, there was always time as the Lord built this career, as the Lord built this vocational journey, that the Lord protected me and cared for me, and He did it. And that's why I don't work all 7 days. I work 6, and one day I don't, and that is the proof that I didn't do it by my own strength. It was the Lord's plan, hallelujah, that got this done. You know, I love it when built in to the paragraph of our lives, this is what the Lord did it. I didn't do it. I've yielded my hands and my feet and my thoughts like a puppet on a string, but He's been my master. That is the palpable sentence of people who are following the Good Shepherd. The word Shabbat, or the verb Shavat, is, it means to intentionally put a stop, an intentional stop to what's going on. Read that with me. A stop in the normal routine to actively and deliberately cease to function and to cease striving. When it comes to your salvation, the whole book of Hebrews, it says, I want you to come into a rest, a spiritual Sabbath, where you're not earning your salvation and you're not striving through your good works, but you're at rest because of what Jesus has done on Calvary. That's a spiritual Sabbath, but a Sabbath is something that you absolutely just say, I intentionally choose to stop doing for a period of time. And God says it needs to be a day. God says it needs to be a day. Now, I want to return, and I want you to be tender to what I'm about to say, and I don't want to say anything offensive, but this verse, I want you to get the context of why God said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Why it was so important and what context God said, one day different, all the others, and then He tells us why. I want to focus on the why, and I want you to embrace the why. It's God, not me. But it's going to take 3 slides for us to get there. But what it says, it's, you know, 7 days work, on the 7th day, 6 days work. On the 7th day, I want it to be a Sabbath. I want you to call a stop. I want you to back off. I want you to make it different. And look what He says. I want you to do the same for your employees. I want you to let them have a day off a week. I want your kids to have it. If you have friends or people come to serve you from out of town, I want your animals as a part of my created order not to be driven 24/7, 365, okay? Is that what this says to you? Now, what was the context of that being important to the genius of God? Because of this, read it for yourself. He says, the reason why I'm doing this is because you have slave mentality. All you have known is Pharaoh saying, more bricks, more production. I'm going to take away your straw. I'm going to make it harder on you. And all you've known is slave thinking. If you don't push it, the taskmaster will beat you, the butcher will guide you, and I want you to have a day where you back off your striving and your toiling and your working, and you're saying, this is the Lord's day. I am the Lord's property. God's got this, and I refuse to think like someone in chains and bondage. Wow, we could park there a while, because they're on their way to what God had for them. Are you on your way to what God has for you? You are. You may not feel like it right now, but you are. Just the fact that you're here today means you want what God has for you. And on the way through the wilderness, there's a sign, and it points promised land this way, return to Egypt that way. And God had to continually remind his people, and he needs to do it today, don't go back to thinking like a slave. Don't go back to thinking that your life is dominated by someone that's not benevolently interested. Oh, you got to think future. You got to think promise. You got to think opportunity. You got to think what I have for you. Don't we all have this default to go back to slavery thinking? I want to say something, and it was strange, but it was holy. And it was special to me this week. And if it's politically incorrect, I'm sorry. I love everybody. But Gail and I's favorite, one of our favorite restaurants, whenever we're close to one, is Longhorn. Now, I know it's almost noon, and I just lost all of you at that point. I just love Longhorn. I like that bread and coated in butter. Come on, somebody say amen. And we were at a preacher's meeting. We were coming back. And we walked into a Longhorn. We found one on GPS, and we walked in there, and we made our order. We're just having a wonderful time, and as I walked across this Longhorn back from the men's room, washing my hands, you know, it's kind of rustic and wood, and I looked around this Longhorn, and just about everyone in the restaurant was black. And as I was there, I was taught. I'm not saying that because in any way was I uncomfortable being the only white guy there. But I had a spiritual experience. I don't know if white preachers are supposed to have this or not. But I'm walking through. I'm sincere. I stopped with these rustic beams and low ceilings. And I saw these beautiful African-American people and African international people enjoying ribeye and grilled salmon with a glaze and shrimp salad, sweet potato loaded. And as I was just walking, all of a sudden, I just morphed. And I wasn't in the Longhorn anymore. I was on a slave ship. And I saw all of these people's great-great-great-great-grandparents stacked up on top of each other, shackled in chains and bonded, starved, where they were immense, where their bones were showing, and they didn't know if they had a future. And then I went back, and I says, wait a second. Look at the goodness of God. Look at these people. Those slaves would have been so proud that their children's children's children are now at a fine eating establishment enjoying the blessings of God. And I was saying, thank God for Wilberforth, and thank God for Lincoln, and thank God for America, and thank God for Martin Luther King Jr., and thank God that we don't have to be slaves anymore, but we can trust God. Hallelujah. It was awesome what these people had grown themselves into. The favor and the blessing and the prosperity of God. A few hours later, Gail and I was sitting outside, and we saw a handsome young white guy walking in front of us. And how long did we stare at him? We watched him from one corner to the next. He was handsome. He was tall. He was so bound by drugs and dope, he could hardly put one foot in front of it. I want to tell you, it's not someone that just has had ancestors that's been in slavery, the atrocity of it, but anybody can morph into slavery thinking, and God says, I don't want you to be in bondage or belong to a taskmaster. I want you to know freedom. I want you to know my power. I want you to know my deliverance. I want you to honor the Sabbath day. Because when you honor the Sabbath day, that's when you see the strong arm of God come into your life. Let me talk to you just a little bit. Because anybody can morph into this slavery to the job. There was a... I've never been there, but Pastor Dave was talking about over on I want to go sometime, in the Holy Land, that in some hotels, not all of them, there are Sabbath elevators. And the restrictions of the Jewish people who follow Orthodox, and not all branches of Orthodox Jewish Judaism, but some of them were so strong that there's a special Sabbath elevator where on the Sabbath, from Friday evening to Saturday evening, since you're not allowed to even touch a button, the elevator stops at every floor and you don't have to touch any button. And all these restrictions about working on the Sabbath were, it's still practiced. We have friends, Ed and Pam McKay-Gale. I don't know if you remember that. They went over there to see some of our missionary friends, and they were showing me pictures of how one sect, probably kin to the Pharisees, would go to certain parts of Jerusalem, and if you were driving, you're not supposed to drive on the Sabbath, they would gather around the cars and jeer and push and rock their cars because people were driving on the Sabbath. And there's so many things that if you're strict, you can't do. Did you know that shopping is forbidden on the Sabbath for a lot of folks? Can you imagine having a day, gals, you just can't shop? Working to earn wages, just so many. Mowing your yard. Richard, I know you love in your yard. But, I know you work a little bit and love that 6 days a week, your yard's spectacular. But the Bible says, I want you to have your Sabbath because I've got a plan for your life. Now, what does it mean to have a New Testament Sabbath? A New Testament. What would that be like? Before I go there, I want to give you a little test here to see if you may need to create yourself a New Testament Sabbath, okay? I know you go all the time. I know that. But I'm going to ask you some questions, and you don't have to tell anybody else, but I want to see how you feel about it. Here's question number one. Do you ever feel like that you're too tired to even start thinking about what you need to think about? Hadley's waving her hand. She just finished her finals. Sydney's over there, same way. I'm too tired to think about what I need to think about. Yeah. Well, girls, it's time for a little sabbatical, okay? Do you ever feel like you're behind before you ever get started? Hello, America. Do you ever feel like, okay, I'm reeling you in right now. I'm doing a little preacher deal on you, okay? I'm pulling you in. You're going to have to go with me after you fail this test. Do you ever feel like that your thinking and your mind is just dull? I want to ask you a question. How long has it been since you came up with a creative idea? Hey, here's the biggie. Are you ever More, are you ever just as tired on Monday as you are on Sunday? Huh. Now, preachers, we don't get a Sabbath on Sunday. We don't. Now, Lionel Richie, love him, can listen to him all day, but I have no idea what he was talking about when he sings, "It's easy, easy like Sunday morning." It's never been easy for me on Sunday morning. I'm fighting devils. I'm thinking about what you're going through, man. I'm praying. I don't know what easy on Sunday morning. But I want to tell you, as our staff, we need to be, you know, on Monday, it's not like everybody else's Monday, because Monday, but there needs to be a day where you said, you know, I'm ready to go. I am ready to go. I want to give you a scripture that's pretty eye-opening out of Luke, I believe it is. The next verse, Luke 21, 30. This verse intrigued me to no end, because Jesus is saying, in the last days, this is where you're going to find people. He says, be very careful. Say, be careful. That your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation. Okay, I want to do a word study right here. I go to the word. I go, where does this heart weighted down show up in Scripture again? Guess where it leads me? To Pharaoh's heart. Where his heart was hard and he wouldn't let his slaves go. Kind of intriguing to me, because here we are. If we're not going to be under bondage, if we're not going to be beat and led by the butcher, then Pharaoh's hard heart says, no, I'm going to drive them. I'm going to drive them. I'm going to make it harder. I'm going to drive them. That's the same word that we find Jesus using that can happen in us when we do not allow Sabbath to take place in our life. In other words, we get locked into slavery if we allow the enemy to steal our Sabbath from us. The word dissipation. Your hearts, say, what in the world does that mean? It means to lose energy. It means, you know, look it up. Google it right now. It's like, you know, to lose money, to become weak, to evaporate. God does not want you in the end time to lose energy, to evaporate, and not be a force for His kingdom's sake. But let me tell you, when I did a deeper dive into this word, it's a compound word, dissipation. The first Greek word that's in the original is, we get the word cranium, or it's crane, it's like our brain, with pollen. In your brain, pollen, and I'm not talking about plants, but here's what the word pollen means. Spatial disorientation. It means in your brain, you start to wobble. You stagger. You can't walk a straight line in your thinking. You don't know right from left. You don't know up from down. You're in a plane, and you're going around and around, and you're going somewhere. You just don't know where you go. And the way you and I drive, the Bible says in the last day, cultures are going to be filled with people who've allowed themselves to back off into slavery again, because in their brain, in their thinking, it is so full of stuff they can't think clearly. They are in that nosedive. And it goes on to say, here's what people do when they get there. They either medicate themselves. Look, that's what the scripture says. Drunkenness. You get through it. Or they just have this high level of anxiety. What's the big deal? Here's the deal about slavery. Slavery takes away your option to say no. Pastor that just resigned as district superintendent of our Georgia district, the Assemblies of God. We just had a meeting, and he was speaking at his last message. And he was pastoring a smaller church in Carolina, and a larger church in Columbus asked him to come be the leader. And they asked him before the pulpit committee, "We just have one question for you. Do you have the power to say no?" And that pastor said, "That's one thing I can do." You see, when you say no, you are really saying yes to something else. And when you say yes, you are really, really saying no. And God says to some things that might not be proper. And the Lord is saying, I don't want you to get caught up in this vortex like someone flying a plane and you don't know where you are in your life because your brain is so filled with stuff you can't think. That's why I want you to make one day different from all others, and I want you to have a Sabbath. Now let's talk before I close about what would be a great Sabbath for you. Now, Sunday's not my Sabbath. Friday's my Sabbath. But what's your Sabbath? Well, what would be a Sabbath for you? I think here's some things that you ought to have one day a week, we all should, that we don't work for wages. We work, we serve at a church, we greet people, but it's just for something bigger than the bottom line. One day a week. There ought to be one day a week when we're not trying to meet our numbers. You live in a culture where reaching your numbers is ever before you. But one day a week, there shouldn't be a competitive award that you get for achievement that day. Now, if you want to go on a run and they give you a little ribbon and pat you on the, I don't think there's enough. But you shouldn't have this every day of the week. You've got to reach this ratio. There's got to back off of it. And employees and employers need to understand one day. There needs to be one day a week as a New Testament believer that we get away like Jesus got away and we take time and we make time to do nothing. I don't feel guilty if on my day off, a big portion of it, I didn't do anything. We need a day where we read or hear something that builds our faith and encourages. We need to take strolls or walks with people that are life-giving. Don't go on a walk with your spouse and straighten them out on their Sabbath. Please. Please, ladies, I know you have a project at home, but give the man one day when he's okay. Come on, let's have a shout in the house now, right? And guys, the same way, there's got to be a day when it's a life-giving thing. Here's something we really need to do on the Sabbath, and I hope y'all start doing it more together. On your Sabbath, share some lengthy meals with friends and family and followers of Jesus. And just let that be a time of enriching. And then it's so important that you just have healthy conversations. Encouraging conversations on the day that builds you. You know, find a place to worship. On your Sabbath, which is probably Sunday for you, I want you to know every time you come to Chapel Hill Dunwoody, you are going to be encouraged. My daddy didn't want me to be a preacher. He wanted me to be a football coach. Years ago, I mean, it was a long time ago, and I said, "Well, Dad, I got the call of God on my life, and I'm going to preach." He says, "Yeah, I know, but, you know, I just always wanted football coach." Well, I hate to disappoint you that I'm going to obey the call of God. He said, if you're going to preach, don't be a young preacher that beats everybody up every time they get up there. All young preachers, all they do is tell everybody how they haven't prayed, they haven't read their Bible, they're not worshiping enough. Be different and encourage people. Lift them up when they walk away instead of feel like they've been beat up. That was long before Joel Osteen ever appeared on the scene. Because my wise daddy knew after 6 days of being driven sometimes by what you feel is a butcher, you need a place on Sunday where you can come and just get lost in the presence of God. And somebody can look at you and say, thank you. Thank you for worshiping the Lord with me today. The Bible says as it gets closer to the end time, we need to gather together and encourage one another and assemble ourselves together. And that Sunday where you say, I am going to the Lord's house and I've got a track record. Tom told me today, every time I walk out there, I'm a little bit stronger, I'm a little bit bolder, I'm a little bit more inspired for what's ahead of me. You know every week God has a word from heaven for you to make you more of an overcomer for His name's sake, and you mark it on your calendar and make it a part of your personal development. You know what happens? What happens is miss one Sunday, and that's 7 days. Yeah, okay. But really, it's a 14-day stretch. You miss 2 Sundays of Sunday worship. Help me, Hadley, see if your accounting's coming. Is that almost 21 days without? You miss 3 Sundays. And all of a sudden, the butcher begins to pound your shoulder blades until you're so beat up and bruised that you, all of a sudden, you're going, I'm trying to get to this pleasant Martha's Vineyard in life, but right now, I don't know where I don't know which way is east or west. And before you know it, you miss the Word of God and the worship and the beauty of His presence, and before long, you know where you are. You're with JFK Jr. and you don't know where you are. You can't think straight and you crash. We had a great pastor in our home church in Arkansas, and I loved him. Great man of God, highly respected. Built a new sanctuary. As he was building, and the pressure of that, he didn't know how to delegate. And the word got out that he had fallen into an affair. No way, not that guy. I went to him, and Gayla went to him. We were just young puppies, just young evangelists. And we said, tell us, sir. Oh, it never happened, but it happened. And somewhere in the challenges of being at the hospital and preparing messages and building a program and building a building, he got in this thing that I don't want you to get in. Boom! I was down at the local grocery store 4 months after that. And here's this great man of God who married Gail and I, stacking cereal boxes. There's nothing wrong with having a good job at the grocery store. That's an admirable thing. But I looked at him, and I stopped and looked around the corner, and I told my heart, honor the Lord's Sabbath, because if you're not careful, that can be your future. God loves that man. He's been restored. Never went back in ministry. Walking with the Lord again. But the Lord looks to you and He says, I'm not a butcher. I'm the good shepherd. Will you follow me? And if you do, you can tell if you're really on my heels, because I'm going to let you run the meadows for 6. And then on the 7th, I'm going to tell you, you lay down right here and you get restored and you get refreshed, because this is a marathon, not a sprint. Stand with me all over this place. Praise the Lord. I want to ask you, Who's leading you? Who's leading you? Is it a good shepherd? This is one of those hard sermons to preach because we're all on the fringe here. We're all on the fringe. But do we ignore the commands of God just because it steps on our toes? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. And you say, Pastor Danny, I am quite certain that I have not been following close enough behind the Good Shepherd. In fact, there's some things in my life that I think I've fallen into that if I was thinking straight, I would have never done it, but I have. And there's some compromise and failure. In fact, I don't even know that my relationship with the Lord is healthy right now, but I want it to be. If you're here right now and you say, I need to get on the heels of the Good Shepherd. I need Him to forgive me of some sin. I need to be a follower of Jesus like never before. And I've gotten away from a prayer that I've prayed in the past, but I want to get restored. I want my soul and my spirit restored. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to humble yourself, and I want you to reach for the Good Shepherd. I'm not going to bring you in front of everybody. I'm not going to embarrass you, but we're going to pray. But if you need restoration, at the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Raise your hand right now. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Wow. Spirit of the Lord's in my mouth right now. The Lord, from a shepherding heart, would say, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, to push you away, or to beat you down, or to remind you how many times you failed. I came into the world to be your sacrifice and move you into a rest. I love you. I love you enough to speak into your heart today to line yourself up with a commandment that I gave to my people centuries ago. And if you will honor me, you will see me honor you. I want you to look at me right now. I want to tell you this one principle. Many of you have proven the tithe. You would tell anybody, I live on 90 and I give God the 10th. And your world changed. Can I hear it? Amen. This is the same principle. Do less. Be more. God is saying, if you will work hard 6 and have one day physical, spiritual, relational, mental, emotional restoration, I will do more in your 6 than you could ever accomplish in your 7. And the Spirit of God is speaking to you right now. If He has proven Himself with the tithe, He will prove Himself with 6 days of work. Give the Lord a shout and a hand right now. Come on. Come on. Give the Lord a hand right now. Praise God. Praise God. God's breaking slaves free. Pray this prayer with me. Not with me, but after me. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for calling me not to go back to Egypt. I am not a slave. I have been set free. I have a freedom to serve you. I am on your clock and your clock only. And if you love me so much, say work 6, rest 1. Work 6, worship 1. I will obey you. Forgive me of my many sins. I choose to follow you in Jesus' name.